Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So, Paul Tanco, you are not only a federal congressman with great power, but you also have a hand in our local politics. It's subtle, but there. Kathy Sheehan is going to be the next mayor of Albany, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. I know that you were in favor of that happening. So what does a woman coming to Albany as the chief executive mean?
Well, I think, you know, just the change of the mayor, the person sitting in the mayor's seat, is going to bring automatically, I think, just a different style, no matter who it is. And I think with Kathy Sheehan, you'll get a very sound management style. As treasurer, you know, we had talked to her a number of times about different things that perhaps the feds could do with revenue sharing, with an urban policy, with commitment to comeback scenarios for our urban cores. She's a very good strategist. She's a very good she's a sound thinker. She puts these things into a very academic setting. And so I think you're going to get a very thoughtful, very academic approach to resolving some of the woes that all of our cities have. And, you know, it was interesting to see how she carved out a message, talked about, you know, accountability, transparency, her experience as treasurer, her involvement in the community through her son and her husband and, you know, a number of ventures that they've made as investments in community, all, I think, hold great promise.
She brought with her a great phalanx, if you want to put it that way, of other progressive voices. It's been building in the school board and other places, mm-hmm. but it does appear that some of the older politics have changed.
Yeah, there is. There were a group of people out there, I think, that were hooking up together in their campaign strategy with a lot of grassroots efforts that had preceded them. And you're very right. I think the involvement in the school issues creates a great base. I saw it when I was in the state assembly. While I didn't represent the city of Albany at the time, I was constantly pulled into the discussions about charter schools and the impact that they had on the tax base in the area and on the classroom activities in the standing public system. So that creates, I think, a tremendous synergy. It creates a lot of interest in how we can best address home ownership. You know, the American dream is impacted by that inability to pay your property taxes, and your school tax, your property tax is your biggest tax oftentimes. It's been severely impacted in a city like this where you have this many operations of charter schools. So that created an audience because it was an emotional content to it and a high priority status to the issue. You know, property owners, children, our future, development of the workforce. Those are dynamics that can help build a very sound base. And it's a good training ground to develop your issues.
Paul Tanco, you mentioned twice, and now you'll be sorry, the word charter schools. I want to ask you about that. There's a fierce debate about it. There are those people who think charter schools are very helpful to the, as you say, the standing public schools, because charter schools see themselves as public schools, because they change the thinking in other public schools sometimes. On the other hand, sometimes they sort of, you know, they just fill their own hands and, you know, they compete with the public schools. Mm-hmm. Where are you on this?
Well, I've always been concerned about the, you know, I think competition is a good all-American phenomenon. But when it's on an unlevel playing field, you know, the way we've established the concept in this state really drains the public system. And when you have saturation of that, it can become a very unfair bit of competition. And, you know, I've always stood by the side of funding our public systems to the degree that they need that funding. And it's not just the commitment we make in a state budget to education dollars, it's the distribution of those dollars. And when we were beginning to move in my final years of this in the state assembly to a concept of ability to pay at home and need in the classroom, we're getting more and more progressive distribution. And then that stopped, and it was very painful. And so when you don't have that kind of reflection in the distribution, there are children that are going to be hurt by that and taxpayers that are going to be hurt by that. And finally, my point on charter schools would be, just as the stellar student is going to be like a catalyst for her or his peers with that learning curve, I think they're the tide that lifts all boats, so too does the committed, involved parent. And when you remove that involved parent, and you do, because I'm a fourth grader, I know not about a charter school, but my mom, my dad, my family, however it's defined, suggests I'm going to a charter school. So there's an involvement, there's a commitment, there's a stewardship, a partnership in education. You lose that. When you pull those parents out, you now leave behind perhaps some of the toughest exercises in the student classroom, behind. You leave them behind in the public system with, again, a drain on their resources also accompanying that. So it becomes pretty much a scenario for failure of the standing system.
So let's talk for a moment something I've often wondered. When I was a young man, I wanted to be a congressman, but it wasn't to be.
Can we still work on that?
I took this sort of, rear guard position. So my question to you is, you're a pretty powerful guy. People assume the congressman is the most powerful guy around. Your people come to you, and like Kathy Sheehan you just mentioned, and they have to plan with you because there's a big pot, and if you don't take your share out, somebody else will. So you have to help them get the most that they can get. That takes a lot of your time, doesn't it?
It does. But, I think the interaction that you have with all levels of government and with the private sector are a good way to develop the best agenda for doing that revenue advocacy. We had during our district work period a series of cluster constituent meetings where we would get perhaps nurses together or manufacturing types together or bankers together, small banks, community banks, just cluster people by profession and bring these frontline opinions to the table here in the district and then use that to guide you. We do the same with our local officials so that we can offer the best strategies. While you might see the congressional seat as a powerful seat, there's no denying we're in very, difficult times.
Sure.
Where we've made it even more difficult by some cutting, I think, that was mindless and thoughtless, like sequestration. But now is the time to really get down into the weeds, if you will, and come up with the best way to share resources with the best expectation of a good payback, a good dividend on those investments.
But if you have a hardworking congressman, it pays. And if you don't, things slip between the cracks. And everything I hear is that you're doing a good job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that coming from the man in the know.
The man in the know who one day thought he was going to be a congressman.
And still might be.
Ended up as a professor.